May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I really love the book of Nehemiah, probably because I identify with the story of the struggles of the Jewish people to rebuild. And how many here have read the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament? Yeah, there's a few for sure. I never got a chance to read it until I actually studied with EFM. And it's a book that is worth reading. It's not terribly long. I urge you to sit down maybe this afternoon and have a look through it, because it is the story of restoration, the story of the struggles of the Jewish people to rebuild, to finish the physical wall surrounding Jerusalem that had been destroyed and rebuild themselves as a people. And there are so many parallels for us at St. George's especially. And so it is a story of hope as well as a story of restoration. Restoration of a people that were taken into exile in Babylon as captives and slaves, where they remained for 70 years, at least three generations in those days. But through the grace of God and an extraordinary individual with great faith in God, they were able to return to their homeland, reconnect with those left behind, rebuild, regroup, and ultimately be restored. Now, the book of Nehemiah could have easily ended at the end of chapter 7 with the completion of the walls. At that point, it was done. This morning, our reading, we picked up right after that, at the beginning of the first verse of chapter 8. So we've kind of missed a lot today. So I'd like to back up a little and review those first 7 chapters, because there's some important stuff that led up to the completion, the restoration of the walls. Often we get a snippet of scripture, right? And it's out of context. So forgive me, but today will be a little bit of a history lesson for some who have not had the opportunity to spend time with Nehemiah, and for some a refresher. But I think it's important. And moreover, as a New Testament people, we still need to spend time with all the amazing history in the Old Testament. It contains rich storytelling and is full of prescience, pointing to the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to us in the New Testament. Okay, some background. It's around the mid-400s BC. The Jews have been taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whose armies have sacked Jerusalem, and it's brought to ruins. As captives, the Jews are sorely oppressed and enslaved by this king, who, among other things, forbids them to practice their faith, which is a surefire method for keeping a people subdued, right? Happily, Artaxerxes, king of Persia, overthrows Nebuchadnezzar, and as the new ruler, is really decent to the Jews. He's a very reasonable person who feels they should be allowed to worship and practice their faith. Well, during this exile time, Nehemiah is born to Jewish parents. And when he's a man, he holds the position of cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. A very honored and influential position to have. And as it turns out for the people of Israel, he is the right man at the right time in the right place. One day, Nehemiah has a conversation with some Jews who are passing through, and he asks them about the community back home. Unfortunately, he learns that everything is not well at all for those who survived or escaped captivity. No surprise, really, their community had been decimated and the people were dispersed and scattered. they were considered remnants, right? Just bits and pieces. And the physical walls of Jerusalem are still broken down, and all the gates, which were destroyed by fire, non-existent. The city is still in ruins, and the people of Israel are too. Nehemiah is deeply upset. He fasts and weeps and mourns for days, so much so that his boss, King Artaxerxes, notices and says, "What's wrong?" So Nehemiah tells him. And the king doesn't say, "Oh, that's too bad. Really sorry to hear that." Instead, he says to Nehemiah, "Well, do you have a request?" Nehemiah kind of gulps, says a prayer to God, and goes for broke. And he asks if he can go back to Jerusalem in order to rebuild it. And miracle of miracles, the king supports him. He does ask Nehemiah how long he thinks he might be away. Obviously, he values this man. 12 years, as it turns out. And at Nehemiah's request, he even provides letters of passage so Nehemiah can safely travel through other territories on the way back. And the king even provides timber from his personal forests for the rebuild. Well, once in Jerusalem, Nehemiah surveys all of the damage, gets all those who are living within and without what's left of the city, gets them to work. And it's a huge job. But everyone pitches in under his leadership. Each family takes a section of the wall to work on. The scripture tells us that some were goldsmiths, some were perfumers by trade. So everyone, regardless of their craft or profession, applied themselves to the construction and set their backs to a lot of heavy lifting. And the priests worked on the gates, which would be 10 in all, building them, securing them, and blessing them. Well, to make things even more difficult, they were under the threat of attack while this was going on. So they also took turns guarding, standing watch at night, and even working with swords strapped to their sides by day. They slept in their clothes at night, just in case they had to spring into action. And these were ordinary people, like you and me, but bound together by hope and faith and a common purpose. So I have to smile when I read this account in the Old Testament, because it makes me wonder how it would be if we at St. George's were tasked with this kind of heavy physical labor under the threat of attack in order to get our new church home built. That's not to say it hasn't been a difficult 7 or 8 years for us. I've honestly lost track of time. I think it's 8. No, that's not to say it hasn't been difficult. We may have felt that we were exiled at times, right? Waiting with expectation to return to the original site, to our Jerusalem. And there was fear of being splintered up, being absorbed into the wider diocese. And perhaps more than one occasion, we may have felt like we were under attack. Lots of parallels. So how did Nehemiah and the remnant of the Jews cope with everything as they were rebuilding in Jerusalem in the midst of a difficult and scary time? The long and the short of it is, I believe, they set their hearts once again on their God. Without God as central to their lives, they could not come back together as a people. They couldn't be the people they once were before they were divided and scattered. Nehemiah understood this clearly. After 70 years, the people were on the brink of disappearing, assimilating back into the cultures and communities around them. They had nothing to hold them together, no central place of community and worship, no leadership. And as individuals, when you're separated from the whole, it's difficult, isn't it, to remain perfectly faithful? We know what that feels like. We've been there. Corporately, as a faith community, we found ourselves without our own building, feeling adrift, abandoned, and desperately in need of healing and experienced, loving leadership to lead us back to Jesus and to community. Talk about ripe for restoration. Praise God. I fully believe we've made some tremendous progress along that road. The people of Israel were ripe for restoration too. And Nehemiah, in essence, was their savior, bringing them back to God. For through his actions in response to his faith in God, he worked to successfully resurrect a people as one of them. No special treatment for him, who by this time had been made their governor. And as governor, he was entitled to food, like a food allowance and payment, but he refused these monies so they could be put toward the rebuilding efforts. And he stepped into the dust and the dirt, sweating and toiling right alongside them. He knew that for the people to be renewed, for the kingdom to be rebuilt, they must all work together. Many people, but one body. Just like we heard in our reading from 1 Corinthians today. And with a common goal. Nehemiah clearly understood that through the efforts of this massive rebuilding project, the city would be restored, but also would be the hearts and souls of its inhabitants. It's no surprise, is it, when we hear God described as a builder or the master builder? The master builder who came to be one of us, working among us, teaching us how to rebuild, to be restored. And in this morning's gospel from Luke, we hear it from Jesus' own lips. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed be free. We're talking about restoration, all right. Being restored to God. And I think that's why in our Old Testament reading today, once the wall was completed, all the people came together, not to have a great big party at first, but to have the book of the law of Moses read out to them. They actually asked for it, if you recall the first few verses, because they needed to hear it again. It was foundational for them as a people. There was a longing in their hearts. And what was their reaction after it was read and even interpreted for them? They wept. They wept. In repentance for having strayed, which precipitated their captivity in the first place. Perhaps in relief to finally feel home again. Perhaps in joy at once again being restored as God's people. Well, probably all of the above. And then they had a celebration. For Nehemiah tells them it is okay to be joyful again and that the joy of the Lord is their strength. For surely God rejoiced that day also. He rejoiced for his beloved, his people, with whom he had a long-standing covenant, were restored to him again. So let's take a lesson from history. Let's remember that we continue to work together, that we need God at the center of our being and at the center of our community, especially through the tough times. We still have those. Let's remember that anything is possible when God is at the center of all we undertake, when his purpose becomes our purpose. Whether we're working on a new church home or working on the creation of his kingdom here on earth. Amen.